Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Moment with me, Andrew Herbert, here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Today we're featuring a wonderful new album by trumpeter Andre Canieri on Whirlwind Recordings called The Darkening Blue. I'll be listening to the second part of an interview I made with Andre last week before their superb gig at the Lascar pub in Sheffield. Plus also a chat I had with the wonderful Brigitte Berahar, whose voice illuminates texts by Raina Maria Rilke and Charles Bukowski on the album. Let's kick off this hour, though, with a wonderful recording from John Patitucci's Electric Guitar Quartet. It's from an album he simply called Brooklyn, and it's a celebration of the music Patitucci grew up with and absorbed in the East Flatbush section of Brooklyn, blues, funk and soul, as well as jazz. For this tune, the quartet, which comprises Brian Blade drums, Adam Rogers and Steve Cardenas guitars, with John Patitucci bass, is joined by Brazilian percussionist Rogério Bacato. And we're going to listen to a cover of a tune by Malian vocalist Umu Sangare called Dugu Kamalemba. Thank you. Don Patitucci and his electric guitar quartet with the tune Dugu Kamalemba. You're listening to In the Moment on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, playing the best in improvised music from the 1920s through to the present day. Today we are featuring a wonderful new album with a stellar cast of musicians led by Andre Canieri. The album is called The Darkening Blue and showcases settings of the poetry of Rainer Maria Rilke and Charles Bukowski. The band on the recording features Andre Canieri trumpet, Tori Freestone tenor saxophone, Ivo Niemi piano, Michael Janisch bass and Ted Poor drums. Last week I spoke with Andre and also with Brigitte Berahar, whose mesmerising voice provides beautifully lucid interpretations of the poetry on the album. Brigitte spoke to me after setting up in the Lescar backroom for a gig as part of the album launch tour. You're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Andrew Herbert and I'm in the Lescar pub in Hunter's Bar at the moment, just before a gig which features material from a new album from band leader Andre Canieri, released on Whirlwind Records on October the 14th, called The Darkening Blue. Very great pleasure. I'm with Brigitte Berahar, whose sublime voice we hear on this album, delivering the poems of Rainer Maria Rilke and Monique Canieri's interpretations of Charles Bukowski. Hello, Brigitte. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
How was it to work on this project?
Oh, it was really really interesting and really beautiful, actually, because I first met Andre a few years ago, and a year later he got in touch with me and told me about this idea of this project that he had. We got together and he brought all this music, which I thought was really beautiful, really incredible. So,
did you know any of the poems beforehand of Rilke or Bukowski, or were they a new experience for you?
Completely new experience for me. So yeah, it was just discovered them with the music, actually, straight away. You know, when he actually sent me some of the music beforehand with the poems written, that he'd written the music to the poems. So when I first looked at the material, it was both at the same time, and then and then seeing obviously the poems from themselves as they are.
And I mean, they're quite intense poems, aren't they? De Rilke certainly are quite intense poems. And I think Bukowski's Time magazine called a laureate of American lowlife. So there's a lot in these poems, Brigitte. What have they come to mean to you as a singer, as a musician, as a person?
Well, when I first saw them or read them, you know, they just really struck a chord with me, because I tend to really like very dark things. I'm a very happy person in real life. But I do love kind of very dark and sort of melancholic and depressing, maybe is a strong word, but there's a lot of that as well.
They're very intense, aren't they? They're very intense poems, but they have the mystical side to them and an uplifting side to them, I think, as well.
Yes, absolutely. And there's all this kind of nature element to them as well, which I really feel close to. Yeah, just really felt really beautiful to sing as well, because it didn't feel like I had to look very far in order to access the emotions of these poems.
Well, I was going to say, actually, it sounds kind of effortless almost how you sing them. It's very, very beautiful. What does it demand of you as a singer, singing these poems in this kind of a way?
Well, I suppose it's just really being honest with those words and really kind of finding something that I've just being honest and being close to them in some way.
They're delivered very, very openly and very honestly. I think you can hear that in the way that they come across on the album. And the song Bluebird is different in flavour, I think, with poetry derived from Charles Bukowski. Can you talk a little about this and what that feels like to sing?
Yes, well, that was an interesting process, actually, because when Andre brought that first poem to me, as he's probably already told you, he wrote the music to the Bukowski poem, so which is the one that I first discovered and loved and learned to sing, and then we recorded as well. And then after that, Andre told me that, you know, he couldn't use those words, and he's. Well, it's before the gig, isn't it?
It's live. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
So then he got his sister, who's a poet, to write the words. And so I was waiting to see what she would come up with. And actually, it felt really easy to sing those as well. I thought she did an incredible job. Actually, it felt really natural to sing her words, and I really feel that she managed to deliver the same sentiment as well, which is incredible, you know, that she was so close to it in a way. And that's one of my favorite poems, actually, both the Bukowski and hers, I think, and to sing as well, to kind of deliver the emotion, is there's that kind of raw emotion that I really like. And I'm not talking about singing about whiskey and cigarettes anymore in her version, but it still has that flavor.
It does, yeah, and it encapsulates the sentiment and the spirit of the original poem without referring directly to it. I think it works really, really well. It's one of my favourites on there. I was going to ask, which is, do you have a favourite poem? Would that be the one then?
It's very difficult to say. I love them all, but I think, yes, I think it might be my favourite one. Is that the fragility about the poem itself and the music? There's a really something, I don't know, that feels really close to me.
And how about the poem from which the title of the album is taken, The Darkening Blue, which is a Rilke poem called Evening? It's quite a short poem, actually, isn't it? I almost wondered whether I could ask you to read that for us. Is that a bit weird? It'd be lovely for us to hear it. But I was going to ask you before you do that, what can you talk a little bit about that poem and what that's about and how it is to sing it for us?
Well, that one, in a way, is the one that's the most gentle one for me to sing, and also kind of goes right to the opposite side of the spectrum, where it becomes like really quite intense and emotional. The evening is just again something that's very a poem that's very deep and very dark and very beautiful at the same time, and I think because of it we managed to go through lots of very, very different dynamics and textures and emotions when we play the music as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Brigitte, for taking time from your pre-concert routine. I know you've only arrived here recently at the Lescar pub, and you've had your dinner and set up, and you're ready for the gig shortly. If you'd like to finish off by saying the poem for us, I do have the words for you.
The sky puts on the darkening blue coat, held for it by a row of ancient trees. You watch, and the lands grow distant in your sight. One journeying to heaven, one that falls. And leave you not at home in either one, not quite so still and dark as the darkened houses, not calling to eternity with a passion of what becomes a star each night and rises. And leave you inexpressibly to unravel your life with its immensity and fear, so that, now bounded, now immeasurable, it is alternately stone in you and star.
How wonderful. Thank you very much, Brigitte. Have a fantastic gig. We're looking forward to hearing it.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Grow distant.
That was the lovely tune Evening from Andre Canieri's album The Darkening Blue, just released on Whirlwind Records. And you heard Andre Canieri trumpet, Brigitte Berahar voice, Tori Freestone tenor saxophone, Ivo Niemi piano, Michael Janisch bass and Ted Poor drums. And before that, you heard an interview with singer Brigitte Berahar at the Lescar pub as they prepared for a gig last week as part of the album launch tour. I also spoke to Andre Canieri, trumpeter and bandleader, as we heard last hour here on In the Moment. The album, titled The Darkening Blue, comes from the Rilke poem Evening, and we've just heard the sublime musical setting from which it is showcased. I spoke to Andre as he was eating in preparation for the gig, so you'll hear some musical and setting up noises in the background, and I began by asking him about the tune we've just heard, Evening, and why that poem in particular was one he put at the centre of the project and took the album title from.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really my favourite poem or anything. It was just, you know, when I sat down and thought, I put the whole project together, I wrote all the music, and then I had to come up with an album title. And I didn't think any of the track names, well, some of them could have been strong album titles, but I didn't want that to be kind of like, you know, if someone looks at an album title, and if it happens to be the same as one of the tracks, they think, well, that's the most important track. I didn't want... So I wanted to keep it a bit more obscure and hidden, and as you've done your research, and hopefully people that do it will notice this. I just thought it was a beautiful line. I read all the poems and I thought, what could I use? What's going to be really strong and sort of sums up the vibe of the record as well? You know, it's kind of, it just ties in with, and it's got the word blue in it, which kind of ties in with the Bluebird poem, and just, it just kind of captured the whole color, to no pun intended there, but just the vibe of the record. In my head, I thought that just sort of fit perfectly.
And in the middle section of that track, there's actually quite an interesting sequence where the music almost dissolves into, I don't know if it's, I don't know quite how that was written out or improvised, what instructions were given to the musicians. And I think that does reflect something in the lyrics that's happening at that time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. The lyrics are they start out describing this incredibly beautiful scenery. If you sort of imagine, you know, what it looks like when the sun is setting and the sky starts to just change that color a little bit, and then for me it's just that transformation that happens throughout, you know, the course of an evening and just the freedom that we have with the music is just that, you know, nighttime, evening, you know, you don't know what's going on out there beyond. It's mostly, in terms of writing, the only bits I actually wrote down were the bits that are sung, and there's a little bit of a instrumental in the middle, which is written out, but then there's quite a lot of improvising that's just sort of completely free.
Yeah, and as we say, the album recording features a fantastic sextet, most of whom are up here tonight at the Lescar Pub. Brigitte Berahar, voice, Tori Freestone, saxophone, Ivor Niemi, who John Turville is playing for on piano tonight, Michael Janisch, bass, and Ted Poor, drums on the album, with Andrew Bain here tonight at the Lescar. So a wonderful array of musicians, both recorded and live. Can I ask you, Andre, what you are looking for in the musicians you play and record with?
Obviously, the main thing is that we have a similar idea of where we want to take music, influences. I mean, it can be quite fun, obviously, to play with people who have completely different musical backgrounds, and that's quite exciting when that happens. And that sort of happens when you play in other people's bands. And but with my own music, I tend to I like it when the musicians have very similar visions musically. And it, you know, it often helps, obviously, as if the musician and I get along on a personal level, because I think that, you know, it goes beyond just the playing of the music. It gets into whether you enjoy the company of that person, whether you can have talks about politics or just very general things about life. I mean, I think that's really important. I mean, there's nothing worse than going and doing a recording or a tour with a band where, once you get off stage, everyone just goes away and it's really cold, and I think...
Well, I was going to say, I know you're in Liverpool, you said last night, and you're down all the way to Dorset to Poole tomorrow. So, yeah, getting on with your bandmates is an essential within that, both musically and socially, I should imagine. I know that the final tune on the album is called Sunflower, and it's dedicated to your daughter, Emily. And many of the tunes have an intensity and strong musical commitment. Do you have a favourite tune on the album?
That's a tricky one. I mean... I think probably my favourite tunes are Bluebird and Area of Pause.
That's very interesting. Well, I was going to ask you about the instrumentals, because we've talked about the four Rilke poem settings, and we've talked about the Bukowski Bluebird, and obviously also within there, there's some instrumentals. You mentioned, in fact, the one that the Area of Pause that in particular struck me. How do the instrumentals fit with the rest of the album?
The instrumentals are somewhat reflective of the sentiment and the content of the poems, but not entirely. In fact, some of them maybe not at all. It's just almost more of a dedication. Like, these are poems that I really liked, and I just let them inspire, you know, the music that was written, and I just kind of thought about it and gave them the title. Some, for example, Hug the Dark is a tune where I very much tried to capture the essence of that poem, which is one of Bukowski's. Yeah, that one. I will be reading that one tonight, so you'll get to hear it.
Rilke has been said to be a poet who can. I know he's quite popular in America, particularly, and here he's been said that he can, reading his poems can lead to a more fulfilled and less anxious life. I don't know if this is something that you considered when selecting the poems, or, you know, what they mean to you personally.
I mean, that's not how I think of them now, but it is a way to escape and just kind of open up a new perspective on life. Sometimes when you get bogged down with everyday things, and you just, sometimes it's nice to get into the mind of someone who thinks so freely. And I know, I remember reading a few years ago that Brad Meldow, because he did, you know, he has an album based on a whole set of Rilke poems. And he's said that he's found Rilke very inspiring and sort of life-changing at a certain point in his life as well. So clearly I'm not the only one, but I just think it's really, you know, like I said, poetry is something that I never really got into. I never did when I was younger, and it's something that I'm starting to find enjoyment from now.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Andre. It's wonderful to have you here. I'm really looking forward to the gig. It's going to be amazing. And you're down to Paul. I guess this is an album launch, so you're probably not. I don't know. Are you thinking about a next project yet, or are you very much in the moment with this?
Well, I'm always thinking ahead, but you don't really know how something's going to. I mean, obviously, I was really happy with the album, and then. This tour is actually going really well. We're really making some new things happen with the music, and it's great. And when that happens, you start to get really inspired and think, oh, actually, this project is really working, and people are liking it, and it's feeling really good. What can I do? So I might be doing some more with this project, but you never know.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much again, and thank you for taking time from your hard-earned dinner, arriving at 7 o'clock. Dinner playing at 8:45 tonight, so we will look forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That was Andre Canieri, who I interviewed at the Lescar pub in Sheffield last week as they prepare for what turned out to be a fantastic gig as part of their album launch tour for The Darkening Blue. Let's have a listen to the instrumental which Andre named as his favourite on the album. This tune is called Area of Pause. Thank you.
That was Area of Pause, and you heard Andre Canieri trumpet, Tori Freestone tenor sax, Ivo Niemi Fender Rhodes, Michael Janisch bass, and Ted Port drums. And before that, you heard the voices of Bridget Berraha, singer, and Andre Canieri, bandleader and trumpeter, discussing the album and the album launch tour. It's a wonderful offering, and I recommend you check it out if you like what you've heard. And if you're interested in finding out more about the jazz series at the Lescar Pub, which is a weekly series in Sheffield at Hunter's Bar, then you can check out the website www.jazzatthelescar.com and do go along to one of the gigs. You're listening to In The Moment here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM with me, Andrew Herbert. At the beginning of the programme, we heard a tune from a young guitarist, Julian Large, from his recent album, Arclight. It's a joyful disc full of fond references to different musical styles, from country and western through jazz and rock. Let's have a listen to one of the more reflective tunes on the album. We're to hear Scott Colley bass, Kenny Wollanson drums with Julian Large guitar, and a tune called Nocturne. Nocturne from Julian Large guitar, Scott Colley bass, Kenny Wollanson drums, and it's from their album released on Mac Avenue called Arclight. A lovely tune. Well, that's almost it from today's programme. I do hope you've enjoyed the music as much as I have. Until we do it all again next week, do have a good week. Let's play out today with another tune from Brad Meldow's album Nearness. Andre Canieri mentioned in his interview that he'd been inspired by a Brad Meldow album of settings of Rilke. That album is with singer Renee Fleming on Nonsuch Records. It's called Love Sublime, and it's from 2006, if you want to check that out.
We're going to listen now to Meldow's most recent album. It's called Nearness, and it's made together with saxophone player extraordinaire Joshua Redman. We heard one of the originals last hour in the moment. Let's listen to another now. This tune is written by Joshua Redman, and it's called In a Melancholy Mood.
Thank you. Hello, this is Nat Johnson and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music.
So full of ideal thoughts and a voice so full of song. And now all the children would laugh with glee, seeing his pretty face. But the parents frown, cause they don't like him seeming to take their place. Anyone who sees just jealousy that makes the parents say, they talk too much to the gingerbread man, I put a stop to that right away. And so Sally Jones' father was appointed by the youngest to approach the local law. Section 3 of the Street Traders Act dated 1924. And 1924 now, when the children heard about the deed, they act so quick and so cool. They all ran away with the gingerbread man on a Wednesday after school.
Summer breeze over the hills away up high, floating clouds of thistle down polishing the sky, and everyone there seems to be humming a tune full of candy floss and wishing wells and May till June is all right. Oh, if you're wearing a frown, and no one is allowed in there who's going to debate. Stocks and shares take over bits, the latest interest rates, oh no, no. So listen, everybody, won't you come along with me? You can see it if you close your eyes and listen carefully. There it is, right now. You hear it, dum dum da da.